Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. Robert's been helping us. He aced out Bill's sound there, so Bill's gonna just read my lips.
Do I have a hot mic?
You do.
Oh, well, there you go. I guess I can.
You have a hot voice and a hot mic.
Yes.
The rest of it we'll just leave alone.
All right.
Because this is family radio.
There we go. There now I'm
Travis
like,
is great. Falling on the button in there.
We have a new engineer under the table. Hey, our sponsor this hour is Pat May Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. If you need a tractor or a mower or any steel products, chainsaws, weed whackers, trimmers, you name it, Honda generators,
yeah.
They've got those in stock. Go by and see them. They're 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, just off I-5. And you can also give them a call, 226-9226, or get them on the web at papaymachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
Yeah, because you know what? This is a kind of place, actually, you know, a lot of places in this country you need a generator. That's a pretty common thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like that time of year, too. It's interesting. We need them in the summer because they shut the power off when the wind blows. And then you need them in the winter when...
When,
you know,
the wind blows and
when the wind blows and
snow
and
knocks down all your power lines. It's a win-win if you have a generator.
Yeah, so much for that. Everybody who pictures everyone in California sitting on a beach, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's a lot more to the state than that, actually, and we're at the far, far, far other end. We're as far away from Mayor Garcetti as we can get,
yeah.
Actually, without living in Oregon.
I don't even own a surfboard.
Which puts us way too close to Cape Brown. We're really kind of sandwiched in here.
Yeah. We got to watch our step.
Yeah, we do. Got to be careful if you move. You got to do your homework. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're continuing on with our program that we've called Cybergeddon, because that's what Dr. Pry really wanted to call it, and that's the name of his article. And you can find that all at wethepeopleradio.us. You can, it's a Word document, so you could pull it and email it and send it, or you could just read it right there on the page. Made it really super easy for you. It did appear on Newsmax, but it was under a paid heading for, was it Premium Pilgrims? It was a P word. What was it, Dr. Platinum. Platinum. There you go.
Pilgrims.
I knew it wasn't Pilgrims.
It wasn't Pilgrims.
I had Pilgrims on the brain. I don't know what's wrong
Newsmax
with me. Newsmax Platinum. Maybe they change it to Pilgrims. Maybe they'll like my idea. I'm mostly probably
you have
not.
Thanksgiving on the mind, I think.
I was thinking about turkey. I'm always thinking about turkey. It's terrible. It's a sickness. All right. So this hour, where would you like to take us? Time always goes way too fast.
Maybe we should talk about solutions and not just for EMP and cyber, because I think the failing of Washington to connect the dots. I mean, Washington is failing us in every respect. They've become the new Rome, the new Rome of the late empire just before the Dark Ages. I'd mentioned earlier on the show how I'm not looking forward to 2021. I'm clean to 2020 because it's the last of the America.
And it was such a bad year too. That's just horrifying that we would clear a year like this.
Bad as it is. Yeah, I think the America of 2021, is going to begin the transformation of our country into something that will be unrecognizable.
Yeah, I think that's
the beginning of a one-party authoritarian system, and with our own cultural revolution happening, and 2020 will be looked back upon with great nostalgia by us as the last of a golden age. You know, terrible as the experiences were, there are still vestiges left of us being the illusion of being a constitutional democracy and something close to what the founders had, had in mind, and the rejection of our history and of our values had not yet become normative, and that's going to be the powers that be are going to try to impose that upon us, these are failures more fundamental than the technological failures like failing to protect us against EMP and cyber, which are no less important, of course, because our lives depend upon those things. And at least as for people like me, the first duty is, regardless of what the nature of the government is, the first duty is to try to keep the American people alive, try to keep our country safe. You know, because as long as there's life, there's hope. And I think there's going to be a lot of hope, and not because I think that President Trump is going to work some kind of a miracle and get a second term. I don't think that's going to happen. And I hate to say that. That's not a popular thing to say. It's not a popular thing to say in my own family.
Why do you say that?
Why do I think that?
Yeah.
Or why? Because, well, let's unpackage it. First, why is it not a popular thing to say?
I know that one.
Right. You know, people around here, including my neighbors, still have Trump signs up. There's a gentleman who's got an American flag upside down and Trump signs all across his front fence, you know, because they know the election was stolen, and they know that their constitutional republic not only is at risk, but has actually already been overturned by the results of the fake election. And the Trump has sort of become an icon of the symbol of resistance. And people, and if you're not for Trump, then you're against democracy and freedom. But that's never been for me about the personality or the man. Trump was important because he was leading a movement, and it's the movement that's important. You know, the movement to preserve the traditional America of the founders. Traditional Judeo-Christian values that have always run this society, not just the man himself. And he deserved to be lionized and respected because I think he was such a great popular voice. You know, he articulated that. He was willing to fight back, unlike the Republican Party. He was willing to fight back against these people and stand up to them. But where he failed, and this is where he fails the test of being George Washington or the greatest American president in history or an Abraham Lincoln, is that it takes more than the courage to speak. You know, it also takes the courage and the wisdom to rule, to run the country, to be an administrator, to pay attention to government. You know, who is in charge of your vision? And he fails that on such a huge score, you know, by his failure to bring in his own people, to bring in Main Street America to run his government instead of relying on the Washington bureaucracy. And I know that there are, including my own family, you know, there are people that are thinking that he's going to work another miracle by invoking the insurrection act, for example. All right? And to try to protect the country, protect our, because the election was stolen. I believe that. I think he's got a prima facie case that the election was stolen. And that he would be justified in invoking the Insurrection Act, which would mean imposing martial law. It would mean establishing military courts and tribunals, to have trial, and to throw people who were responsible for this conspiracy into prison, So I don't even argue with them that he would be justified in invoking the Insurrection Act, because I think an insurrection has happened. My concern there is that Trump has proven that he would lose, he would fail, he won't be able to competently implement the Insurrection Act and save the country by that means. Because when he had the full powers of the presidency behind him, and he was, before he became a lame duck, when he was a full commander-in-chief, and had, he was not able to stop them from stealing the election in the first place. So it'll be much more difficult for him to try to use the Insurrection Act to keep power and to keep out of power those who have tried to steal it. I think he will fail. I think if he does that, they'll end up in jail, and his Insurrection Act allies will end up in jail, and it will provide the perfect excuse for a Biden administration to themselves invoke the Insurrection mm-hmm. Act against Trump supporters and conservatives and moderates and everybody. And if you think the oppression of COVID-19 is bad, you know, it will accelerate the process. Have them sending the police to your door to get your guns. You know, and to shut up, tell shows like this on the basis of it being insurrection. And it will accelerate us becoming a totalitarian state. And in this, you know, if you think objectively about President Trump's real legacy, and in my mind you, I'm saying this as a person who has supported him and has, you know, but I think part of being a conservative is that we don't worship personalities. You know, we look at reality,
yeah.
You know, and he hasn't been that great a leader for the reasons I've been talking about, but like the last year of his presidency, I mean, I think everybody gets it now, or most conservatives do, that COVID-19 was not the plague. It was not the Spanish influenza. And that President Trump did, just like Nixon could only go to China, you know, because he was a conservative, only a conservative or somebody with the kind of backing that President Trump had from the conservative movement, only he could kick open the door to totalitarianism with these COVID-19 policies, you know, which trampled upon the Constitution and the Bill of Rights of people and established unprecedented actions in this country's history.
Yeah, and you know, seemed to be unable to reel that back and make it stop.
Well, of course.
We have to take a really quick break. I thought this would be a fitting Christmas song in light of where we're headed. Kind of silly, but thought you'd enjoy it. You're listening to We the People, and you can join us at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's Christmas at Ground Zero. There's music in the air. The sleigh bells are ringing and the carolers are singing while the air raid sirens blare. It's Christmas at Ground Zero. The button has been pressed. The radio just let us know that this is not a test. Everywhere the atom bombs are dropping, it's the end of all humanity. No more time for last minute shopping. It's time to face your final destiny. It's Christmas at Ground Zero. There's panic in the crowd. We can dodge debris while we trim the tree underneath a mushroom cloud.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
There we go. So,
yeah, before we rudely interrupted, I think you're absolutely right. I think 2021 has the potential of becoming much, much, much worse.
So I'll have to play that song again next
2020.
Year.
2020, yeah.
Probably have to play the whole thing. Yeah.
If you're allowed, if you guys are allowed to continue speaking.
Exactly.
Year,
exactly.
It's interesting because the only difficulty we've had posting, I've never had difficulty posting the audio. We had difficulty posting video of the program when we used Wuhan in the title of one of the videos. And just by taking Wuhan out and, I don't know, we put in China or, I don't know, I think we just replaced the word Wuhan. And that same video was posted again. So, obviously, you know, it was a keyword-specific block, but other than that, we really don't get blocked, she said before the website crashed.
Not yet, you haven't. That isn't 2041 yet, and you haven't had the new administration take power
know,
yet.
I know it. Where they want to re-educate us. Isn't that always the guys, the re-education camps?
Right. I've been, of course, as usual, the gloom and doom kind of guy here. But let's talk about the bright side. You had asked me that a half an hour ago about what is the bright side.
I alluded to
the fact that there is one, and then didn't talk about that. But there is a bright side to this, I guess. Because God and history move in mysterious ways, and everybody assumes that saving America equates to saving President Trump's next term, which I think there's no prospect of that happening. But in fact, the best thing that could happen is maybe no Trump second term. Because I think we would have gotten more of the Trump first term. And contrary to Lou Dobbs, I don't think that President Trump, given his record, is going to be the most consequential president in American history. He's been a road bump on our road toward totalitarianism, basically, by his ineffectiveness in government. And in effect, we'd get another 4 years of the good rhetoric that we all enjoy, but no progress in terms of rolling back the totalitarian left-wing socialist tide, just like we haven't gotten any progress in decades from the Republican Party. When I look at the America I grew up in and where we are today, despite all my activism and walking in the snows for Ronald Reagan and, working for the Republicans and all the money given to the Republicans, the America we have today is almost unrecognizable and much closer to what the far left has wanted than what conservatives have wanted. And this is what may be the bright spot, because the stage may be in set for a peaceful second American Revolution. The problem has always been Washington. That's the problem. That's the great departure from the vision of the founders about how our government should run. Governance was not supposed to come mostly out of Washington. Government was always supposed to be closest to the people. Your local government was supposed to be more important in your life than your state government, and the state government more important in your life than the federal government. And all that's been stood on its head, in the 20th century, basically. And now that we basically have this totalitarian, authoritarian movement that's been unleashed, made possible by President Trump's opening the door with COVID-19, so that governments think nothing about trampling on people's civil liberties, costing them their means of living by shutting down the private sector, controlling religious attendance and all the right and the rest. We will be put to the test. We will be put to the test now about whether Americans really are an exceptional civilization. I think we are. I think enough of us still are. Maybe not a majority, but enough to have a revolution. Even the original American Revolution was won by only a third of the population. Only a third of Americans supported the American Revolution originally. A third of them were Tories, and the other third were apathetic, indifferent to the outcome. And in with modern communications and all the rest, you might be able to have a conservative, peaceful revolution with less than a third of the population actively being activist. And how would a conservative, peaceful revolution work? Well, we could look to what Gandhi did in India. In the end of the day, your freedom is a personal choice that's in your own hands, and you can choose to obey or disobey. And that power to disobey is the power of freedom, the power of yourself to be a free individual. You can refuse to wear a mask. You can refuse to close your store and stay open for business. You can refuse to surrender your gun. You know, you can homeschool your kids. You can stop paying taxes. And if we all organize, if enough conservatives organize and do this, you know, you can have that peaceful second American revolution. They cannot put millions of us into jail. There's not enough prison space for that. And if they try, well, that's why we have a Second Amendment. And it would be their choice, you know, to push us over the edge into a hot civil war if that were to happen. But I think that the, you know, I've talked a lot about, you know, how President Trump didn't know how to govern. Well, the American left, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, the Dr. Fauci's in our government, they know even less than President Trump about how to govern. They're even more incompetent than he is.
And which is scary because they've been there for how long and they still don't get it.
Fauci spends all his time on TV. I mean, he's one show after the next. I think he's just angling for a, you know, spot on CNN or something.
Oh, he loves the power. He loves the power. I mean, he spent his whole life, as a paid government functionary. And all of these people who have been in this establishment who've always had an elevated version of the real role that they should play, this is their chance to live out their fantasy life. I think Fauci's in his 80s or something like that. I don't think he cares whether he gets a high-paying job on CNN.
I think he just likes the camera. You know, it's like, it's me, the expert. And
he loves the camera because he's a narcissist and a megalomaniac.
Yeah.
And he loves not just being on television, but he loves the fact that he can impose his will.
Yes.
You know, on the American people and get praised for it.
And it doesn't matter how many times he's wrong.
Right. And they don't care about the damage they're really doing. You know, in the end of the day, they convince themselves that, oh, well, they're doing it for the people's good, and the people just aren't smart enough. And multiply Dr. Fauci, you know, by 100,000, and that's what you've got in Washington. You know, bureaucrats like that who think they're smarter than we are and know better than we do how to run our lives. And because that's the fundamental difference between the left and the right in terms of political philosophy. You know, conservatives and the founders believe that every individual is more competent to make their own choices, that they should be free to choose, you know, because they know best what's best for them. And that collectively, it's better for society and it builds a stronger civilization by having those more efficient, wiser decisions made by individuals than it is by a handful of tyrants, even if there are a couple million of them in Washington, by a million tyrants, you know, in Washington, D.C., who think they know better than all of us for making those decisions. But we can just take the power away from them by just ignore them. Oh, it's breaking the law. Yes, it'd be breaking their law, you know, but it's not breaking natural law, and it's not breaking God's law.
Well, and most of these things aren't laws anyway.
And they're unconstitutional, too.
Yeah,
you know,
there's
unfortunately,
that.
We've arrived at a point, you know, where our judicial system is also so corrupt that they are silent in the face of these drastic violations of people's constitutional liberties and their rights under the Bill of Rights. And so we are preserving America by our personal choices in our personal lives, in our personal space. The America of the founders will continue to exist. And, you know, and we're not even fighting the feds. You know, we're using violence to do that. We're doing it peacefully. If it comes to it, they force the issue, you know, we will have to fight. But hopefully it won't come to that. And I don't think it will, because these people, in the end of the day, in their deepest being, are cowards. And
we haven't even exhausted our options yet. I mean, there's a really strong recall going for Gavin Newsom in the state of California, and anybody who lives in California and is a registered voter who has not signed that yet should go to recallgavin2020.com. You can print the petition page. It's one-sided, 8.5 by 11, super simple, no tricks. Name, address, name, signature, physical address, and it gives you space for four more signatures, and mail it to the coordinators. Go on that website and look at where to send it before you take it to your county. They're keeping track of all the signatures, so they'll know if they all were counted or not. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back on that happy note. And you're listening to We the People. You can join us at wethepeopleradio.us.
You're a farmer, America. There's a growing feeling of hysteria. Conditioned to respond to all the threats and the rhetorical speeches of the Soviets. Mr. Khrushchev said he will bury you. I don't subscribe to this point of view. It would be such an ignorant thing to do if the Russians love children too.
The Russian life was very sad, and such was life in Leningrad. I was born in 49, a Cold War kid in McCarthy time. Stop them at the 38th parallel, blast those yellow reds to hell.
Yes. What do they keep on fighting for, indeed? But I don't know. I don't think it ever stops. So, Dr. Pry, when you know, from your vantage point, it's what's it look like over there? Because here, I'm finding so many people do not. I guess my one pet peeve is they don't know what the Secretary of State does. They don't realize how important that is and how that's the person who cleans up your voter rolls and safeguards your elections and whatnot. And these people are elected in our states. And then a time like this happens and we really need them to be, professionals or, not liars. How about that? And turns out they're not. And surprise.
Well, that's why I don't believe in the. I mean, I do think, for example, what you had suggested about recalling the governor. Yeah, sure. I think people should continue to vote and continue to exercise and attempt to work, quote unquote, through the system. But I don't think they should pin their hopes on that anymore. Because I think the system is rigged. I think the system is going to get even more rigged with the Biden administration coming in. We won't be able to trust any future election. We won't be able to trust any future petition, like the one you're talking about, that is going to be honestly weighed and considered, and that you can trust the authorities. We're looking at a takeover of by America by soft totalitarianism. That's always how it starts, you know. I mean, when Hitler came to power in 1933, it wasn't just the raging tyrant. He had all kinds of high-minded welfare programs, specializations for the poor, increasing the pay of workers, public works that were going on. That's why he had a lot of support, not just in Germany, but outside of Germany before the inevitable happened, as always does when you are dealing with tyrants and totalitarian movements. It may happen sooner here. But that's why I think the most effective thing is going to be for people, large numbers of people, millions of Americans, to rebel peacefully by refusing to obey. And that's going to shake the elites to their core. We've never had that happen before. A Tea Party movement, as it were, but writ very large, where people are basically, all those Trump voters are saying, we don't accept you. You're not our president. You're not our government. You know, you didn't get these things legitimately, and you're not willing to institute reforms to convince us that you hold power legitimately. That's going to scare them, you know. I think even more so than the Republican Party, cowards that they are, were scared by Black Lives Matter and Antifa. You know, look at how quickly they caved on so many issues, you know, including canceling our own history, because Antifa didn't like it, Black Lives Matter didn't like it, you know, because they exercised violence. And not even a lot of violence compared to something like the American Civil War, you know, theater violence and the burning of thousands of stores if you put it all collectively together and that sort of thing. But it wasn't the kind of violence that you had in the Bolshevik Revolution. It's one of the things that's so disappointing about Washington and especially the Republican Party and the leaders who were charged with protecting our country. How ineffective they have proven, how disgustingly ineffectual against these idiots, you know, that cause violence in our streets. Well, I think the idiots on the other party are also equally cowardly and not used to being challenged for the moral high ground. They're used to being obeyed. And that's what they're counting on. They're counting on the idea that Americans are not an exceptional people, that most of us are going to be sheeple, and we're going to obey, and that we'll have a European-type system. And maybe they're right. You know, maybe our republic has reached the end of its rope. Most republics are not long-lived. You know, the longest-lived one, the Roman Republic, lasted 300 years. Most of them turn into tyrannies eventually, and maybe we are at that point. But I don't think so. When I drive around and I see all of these people who, you know, have fought with everything that's in them, you know, to try to save this country by supporting President Trump and by supporting the Republicans, you know, I think that Americans are an exceptional people, and they still understand. The grassroots Americans still understand. What I hope they will discover in themselves in this second American Revolution I'm talking about, is that for all of them, they will find that they are their own best leaders, that the grassroots are their own best leaders, and that every man and woman is their own best leader. You know, the big mistake has been trusting the Republican Party and its leaders. And even the big mistake has been trusting President Trump as if he has some kind of magical powers, when in fact he hasn't really been a very good leader. We have given a second American Revolution, a peaceful second American Revolution, has been decades in the coming. We have been, as a people, enormously patient in giving the system a chance to work, but has failed us. I think the Democrats have been stealing elections for years, and the leadership of the Republican Party, I mean, every day, I'm sure all of your most of your listeners, people who are, you know, conservative, get these appeals for cash donations because of the races in Georgia. The races in Georgia are so crucial, you know, so that even if President Trump is out of office, so that we'll hold on to the Senate. Supposedly that'll be the great bulwark of our freedoms. Don't believe it. You know, the Republican Party has proven itself to be so weak and cowardly. And even if we control the Senate, under the leadership of people like Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham, they will cave. They will cave. They are no bulwarks of our freedom. We have to be our own bulwark for our freedom, and we have to be our own best leaders.
However, the idea of Chuck Schumer running the Senate is enough to terrify even people who don't follow politics.
True, but maybe that's what God has in mind, you know, that we need a taste. Don't forget what brought President Trump to office in the first place.
That's
was
true.
8 years of Barack Obama and the Democrat Party, right? Maybe we need 4 years of Chuck Schumer in charge of the Senate and Kamala Harris in charge of the White House to move the American people to finally enact that second American Revolution, a revolution not run by the Republican Party, but by the grassroots, by the American people themselves, taking their freedom back, taking their freedom back by their power to choose, by their power to disobey, by their power to refuse to be tyrannized. You know, I think I love the rank and file of the American people, the great conservative activists, those people who have such faith and have those signs still up in their yards, you know, hoping and praying that Trump is going to somehow come back. They remind me of the Republican Party has been like bad Confederate generals. You know, I'm thinking of General Hood. You know, the Republican Party would like to think that they were a great Confederate general, like General Lee, and their genius, their strategic genius over the decades has been overwhelmed by the powers of the Democrat Party. In fact, that isn't what's happened, and Trump himself has been no General Lee. They've all been like a General Hood. They say the right things, get you to follow the man on the white horse. General Hood was a very charismatic leader. He had lost an arm, he had lost a leg in the American Civil War. Very charismatic leader, very brave man, and the troops would follow him anywhere. He did, but he was a terrible battlefield tactician. Mm-hmm. Or a terrible strategist anyway, and just like the Republican Party has been. And whenever the Republican Party gets in trouble, you know, I mean, they mismanage things, and they don't consult the troops and ignore the troops, you know, for year after year, get themselves in trouble, and then when they're about to lose everything, they come to us for our money, for our energy, for our work, to save them, okay? And the Republican Party reminds me of General Hood in the last years of the Civil War, you know, when he had these two catastrophic battles, you know, the Battle of Franklin and the last Battle of Chattanooga, you know, where he basically sends the flower of what's left of the Southern youth, you know, in these frontal assaults against entrenched enemy positions and has them blown away, you know, so the flower of Southern manhood is left dead in the field by 1865. That's the Republican Party for you. You know, we don't need General Hood to send us to our deaths. I mean, I'm not sending a dollar to the Republican National Committee anymore. You know, I've been supporting them all my life. They are part of the problem. And we need to get organized ourselves at a grassroots level. We need to do our own generaling. Maybe we need a completely different political party. Though I don't think that'll matter under these circumstances, because elections can't be trusted.
Well, and besides that, then you just have everybody running all over the place, and the Democrats are in charge of us forever.
I don't think so. Not if we refuse, we'll be in charge of ourselves.
Well, there you go. Okay, how about this? Let's talk about this a little bit more on the backside. Up to the top of the hour, our guest is Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. You're listening to We the People, and you can join us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Don't turn around, uh-oh. Tell your McCormick's house in town, uh-oh. He's got the power, and you're so weak, and your frustration will not let you speak. La, 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 la. Don't turn around, uh-oh. Tell your McCormick's house in town, uh-oh.
Then you know why. The more you live, the faster you will die. That justice is the one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line. When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon. We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
Because at the end of the day, that solves everything. That's how we fix it. I guess so. The revolution did kind of start in a saloon. You know, there's a lot of saloons involved in that. I think they didn't call them that before, but I don't know. We have to go back to saloon meetings. I'm in.
tavern meetings. You might actually have put your finger on why we, I mean, that's one of the things that I am a little fearful about why a second American Revolution may not work, you know, because the first one, there was more of a sense of community at the grassroots level.
Yeah.
Sense of community formed in places like taverns, churches, people had their own militias. Technology has made us into individual little islands where we don't even know our neighbors anymore. That might have to change if we're going to be free and organize, you know, to resist what's coming. But I guess we're almost out of time here.
Imagine that.
That Aaron Ryan show trying to solve the world's problems 2 hours at a time.
That's right. We're going to take a bite out of the badness of the day. Yeah, you know, the things that you were, you know, obviously sometimes it's not popular to criticize the president. But like I was just telling Robert during the break, the foreign aid that the president is now complaining about, those figures came right out of his budget request. And in some cases, they funded it lower than he requested.
I know he hasn't been in charge of his own.
Right. He hasn't paid attention, and it's not in the coronavirus bill. It's in the year-end spending bill. And so telling everyone, oh, my God, they took the coronavirus bill and loaded it up with pork, it's like, are you kidding me? That was in your budget, has been in your budget, and you knew that was in the spending bill, but suddenly those have become conflated just so everyone can get mad. And
yeah,
I don't know. I don't find that helpful.
Maybe he didn't know. I mean, he's such a hands-off president, you know. We know he works hard. I mean, he works hard at being a spokesman, okay, and running for election. But when he was in charge of the government, he certainly didn't work hard in terms of deciding who should be in his government. You know, he delegates responsibility far more than a really great president should. You know, delegates responsibility in terms of who should run CISA, the CIA, all the major departments and agencies of his government. A hands-off president in terms of his budget and these other technical things. You know, I think he has.
Well, like look at the company. I was just going to say, look at the virus bill that's been sitting there since what, July. They've been going back and forth and back and forth, and finally they arrive at a deal on that. And then all of a sudden, he wants to blow it up. It was supposedly a deal he approved, and it didn't have foreign aid in it. Again, that was in the budget, but suddenly he goes from $600 payments to individuals, which is $166 billion, and now wants to jack that up to $2,000 payments. That's $500+ billion. I don't think that's going to happen, but who does that after 6 months of negotiating?
And who, we shouldn't have been doing it at all. What kind of a conservative president listens to Dr. Fauci?
Well, there's that.
Right.
Shuts down the economy.
In the first place, I mean, it's appalling that somebody who's supposed to be a conservative president does that. And for all of those who are conservatives out there, I mean, it's an obligation. That's one of the differences between conservatives and socialists, you know, is that we are suspicious of our government and our leaders and pay attention to them because we are in charge. We are in charge. They work for us. And so it isn't being disloyal or wrong to criticize even our own president. That's what we're supposed to do. That's how we stay free. And I think a dose of realism is definitely needed here, you know, about, well, you know, hoping and praying that Trump is going to pull off some kind of a miracle and get himself a second term. Maybe we shouldn't be hoping and praying for that. And this is no endorsement of Biden and Kamala Harris.
I was going to say, let's not be confused. We're actually not. This would not be Biden and Harris team. Yeah.
Right. It's just that there are alternatives to achieving a second American Revolution, which is really the way back to what this country needs to be, away from the power of Washington. President Trump didn't do anything to roll back the power of Washington. You know, and And, you know, so that's been an enormous disappointment, and that should be understood as such by our people. You know, we shouldn't leave everything on the field for perhaps for the cause of a second Trump term, you know, but hold back that for, you know, for what I've been talking about, a project where we have a second American Revolution from the grassroots up, a Tea Party movement writ large. I think that something like that is what's going to be really necessary to defeat the enemy within and get America to the place that it should have been, that the Republican Party has been promising to lead us to for decades, but has failed to do, you know, because they've been part of the problem, too, a more insidious part of the problem, you know, because they have been lying to us about what they really believe, guys like Mitchell and Graham, who are also just megalomaniacs and are love being part of the aristocracy that lords over us and their wealthy relationships with the Chamber of Commerce and the like. You know, they, in the end of the day, they could care less about the Second Amendment and the First Amendment and all the other amendments and constitutional restrictions on government power. Lindsey Graham was actually defending the foreign aid to Pakistan for gender studies in Pakistan, defending that. Unbelievable, you know. So this is the nature, you know, of the problem that we have, and it is not disloyal or wrong to criticize our government, including President Trump.
No,
you know, this
but
is
it's also
grown up and realistic.
It's also important for people to realize that you don't get to just rewrite the thing. I mean, I take a lot of phone calls, and I had a call from somebody who basically wanted the president to fix the election and solve that. And I said, well, okay, he can sue. You know, we went through the choices. And then, well, Congress needs to do it then. They need to arrest these people. And I'm like, Congress doesn't get to arrest people. The people who make the laws don't get to enforce them. And so folks that would consider themselves constitutionalists often throw out that three co-equal branch thing when it just isn't getting the job done. But that doesn't mean we should throw it out.
And, well, it's another failure of the president. I mean, his chief job, you know, when he was in charge of the government, is to ensure that we have free and fair elections. And how he expected that to happen with Chris Krebs in charge of CISA escapes me.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
pretty scary to find out at this point.
Yeah, the man in many ways, the president in many ways, has been the author of his own destruction, the loss of his power, and unfortunately endangered all of our national security and our freedoms in the process of his gross mismanagement of the government. Maybe it's a philosophy he brought with him from the private sector, where he thought he could trust so-called professionals to do the detailed things.
But a lot of that stuff isn't getting done. I mean, he's leaving office, and we still have like the Klamath Compact Commission, the federal appointee, is still from the Obama era, because the other one is sitting on somebody's desk in OMB and hasn't been signed yet.
One of my biggest disappointments and criticisms too has been, you know, the president himself has contributes to this fiction about COVID-19 being the plague. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, here's some. It's got a 99.987% survival rate.
It's got a higher survival rate than the vaccine has efficacy. But that's a whole different deal. We will chat with you again very soon. Clock's going to cut us off at the pass. We've been visiting with Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. We thank you for joining us right after Christmas. And cross your fingers for 2021. We will talk to everyone next week. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Christmas we get, we deserve.